We are getting close to opening night tomorrow night, 24 hours away from puck drop throughout the NHL, including Leafs Habs tomorrow night. John Tavares will join us later in the hour. We'll catch up with the captain of the Leafs and get his take on, you know, camp so far and I guess stepping into the great unknown, playing hockey, playing sports during a pandemic. So we'll catch up with him, Matthew Tkachuk, later this afternoon as well. So we've got Eastern Canada on lockdown. We've got Western Canada on lockdown. We're looking forward to both those guys joining us, and it's going to be fun. We're getting close.
Yeah, and where are we at here when we left the show off yesterday as far as the bet? Because the internal text
hang on a second
got a little bit heated there because I believe – well, okay, you go.
Now, lay out the context of what happened yesterday. We might have a new audience. People may not be familiar with what was going on towards the end of the show yesterday.
I will do what you call a synopsis of what happened yesterday, okay?
Okay.
Yes. You went Jerry King – yesterday in your interview with Jerry Bettman, right? Agreed?
Yeah, okay. Larry King with Gary Bettman, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you went Jerry King, and for some reason, I don't know what got into me. I was just so jacked up. I started shouting, Jerry King, Jerry King. And I just got the word Jerry King stuck in my brain. And I floated out at the end of the show, if we can get Jerry King trending on Twitter, you don't have to pay your football bet. But I understand Jerry King was trending in Canada, and I don't care. That was fun and everything. By the way, we could probably use that in some kind of positive thing in the future instead of getting
Jerry King. Yeah, it's good to know we could get something trending, like Jerry King passing, you know, COVID and, you know, real stuff that's going on in society probably was unnecessary. But
so anyway, if you think that because Jerry King trended in the nation.
What do you mean, do I think?
I
you
just
said
think
it
gutless.
On the record.
Dude, I get that, but that's all just fun and games. You know the amount of money I've had to dish over to you. If you want to take this as a side route, like, out of it, go ahead, but you're 54 under at you-know-what golf tournament. It's called the No Balls Open.
Here's the thing. I'm the mediator. I would have no problem saying there's a foul here if Hayes was like, hey, you know what? If I can get this trending, am I not going to owe you money? You actually offered it.
Unprovoked.
You actually said, like,
unprovoked.
I'll wash this debt if we can get this trending.
30 seconds later, I was back to even. I mean, that's just
–
I knew you were
going to
bring this up. I knew you were going to come back on this.
Well, the language on the text.
I staunchly disagree with what you're saying. And if I just want you to know, if you don't pay and you think, oh, yeah, I won the Jerry King thing, so I don't have to pay – you just have no ball. You have no balls.
I love how I'm the one with no stones. Meanwhile, you're the one that laid it on the line. It came to fruition. And then, what, that was Mickey Mouse yesterday? That was Disneyland. But now we're back in Vegas. Now we're back with Jimmy the Greek in the back alley. Yeah. This is real stuff. Yesterday was just a fantasy world where we're throwing out bold statements. And
I want Jerry King trending. I don't want the money. That'll be more than enough.
There it is. On the record. Case dismissed.
No.
I mean, it's that easy. But here's why I'm going to allow it to be thrown off the record. Okay, I don't even – what do they say, objection? Objection.
Yeah.
I'll object to my own winnings on this because you're the one that would be breaking records at the No Balls Open. You'd be Tiger at 97 at the Masters, Tiger at Pebble Beach in 2000 because here's what would happen. I'm going to run off probably a 5-2, 6-1, maybe 7-0 record the rest of the way. You and Al's brother had your fun. You had a big weekend. You two are really feeling good about yourselves, as you should. I'm going to circle back, start winning more games again, and you won't pay because you'll say, nope, all bets are off because you actually followed through on what I was asking for. So, fine. I'll stay in the hole down 300.
Actually, but Dustin Johnson at the No Balls Open, I have only said that's enough with the betting. I got my ass handed to me the whole football season, so I said I think I've had enough. I gave you probably $3,500.
No,
total.
You didn't give me
close to come on.
What are you talking about?
This guy's on drugs. Now
look
you're
at
lying
you.
About
look at you.
Every time we play golf, I have Yeah, I had to give you a G note every time
That's
we played
golf.
That's
not even remotely true.
Anyway, like, it's a big
not
game.
Not even close.
I'll just say this. The next time I see you in person, I will figure out what kind of, not broadcaster, or I just what kind of man you are.
Okay.
You either have the money or you don't.
The irony here is this all started with you making a bet that you're not following through on. That was a $300 bet yesterday. You basically said, I'll hand you $300 right back if we can
well,
get
here's
Jerry
where I
King
feel
trending.
Before
and it was trending
on.
Within 30 seconds.
Okay, well, that was stupid on my end. But what I'm forgetting here is I had a plan to divide the money with Al's brother, and he wasn't happy because he didn't sign off on Jerry King. So what the hell?
I see. So Al's brother is the problem here for me.
Dude, he's pissed. So I can't go on like this, and I need to just rescind it. And Jerry King was fun. We can get something trending if need be. Hopefully something a little more important in the future than Jerry King. But let's just start fresh. We got okay. You owe me the money. I'm up on the football, and me and Al's brother are going to split the money.
So okay. Yesterday was just – let's just forget about yesterday.
It was Men in Black yesterday. Everyone come around the circle and stare at Tommy Lee and – We're gonna hit this buzzer, and then everyone's gonna forget that happened.
Remember when you're a kid? Is it like I didn't say keepsies, or I didn't say you know what?
Yeah.
Like it's like that. Well, I didn't say keepsies.
That's exactly what it was. No, I didn't. I got a 5-year old. I deal with that all the time.
Now I got
my 45-year old that I have to deal with from 4 to 7. That plays by the same rules.
I had my fingers crossed. Didn't mean it. Yeah, I didn't mean it.
That's exactly right. So, okay, fine. Hashtag Jerry King was all for naught. That's what I'm disappointed in. In all seriousness, I'm disappointed because people were willing to jump online and get, I think, what was, you know, a pretty important message trending across the country. Hashtag Jerry King, shout out. And it was all for naught.
You know, I told you yesterday, what about the poor guy on his couch or on his reclining chair just scrolling through the news on Twitter? And he just sees that and says, man, I got to check that out. What is this? Jerry King. Is this like a new Lion movie or a new Netflix thing? No, it's not. It's you. It's Jerry King.
It's nothing. But we're not going to do that again because I'm not going Jerry King with Tavares and Tkachuk. I mean, you guys need to jump into the fast lane here.
No, listen, I'm fine with it. I've got to be honest, though. I was even sent a note late last night saying, like, did Hayes, like, you got... You weren't angry whatsoever. You were very pointed with your questions and that, but it was like you were like very serious about doubling down on those questions with Gary Bettman about gambling. That's the one that hit a nerve. I don't know what it hit a nerve with you or whatever, but you were so pointed with, like, you said 10 years ago, and have you changed your opinion? I can't remember how you worded it.
Well, what I was trying to get to was – gambling and hockey was always, they weren't married, they were not even divorced. I mean, they had never met each other. And Bettman for the longest time, and he wasn't alone. David Stern was the same thing in the NBA, the NFL, MLB. MLB was even more against it based on their history with your boy Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe.
And
their dark history with gambling in the sport. So not only was he against it, he never wanted it legalized. They went to court to fight it. And I wanted to ask him about, you know, bringing in more money. Like, this is a big part of what's going to happen in the future. Every business has to adapt. I think the NHL realizes we're losing money. Bettman admitted to that yesterday. We got to find a way for new revenue. We got to find some new cash. Gambling seems to be a pretty obvious avenue, if you ask me. And what I wanted to ask him, though, was, I know it's legalized, but do you personally believe it's ethical now? Like, because you didn't 10 years ago. You didn't want it. You didn't like it. You didn't want it anywhere close to your sport. I read last night they're putting, I think, a sports book into the new rink down in Detroit. Or
fantastic.
If it's not a sports book, it is owned by like a casino or something. And like that is the beginning. That's what's going to happen. Like real sports, I'll bet you within 10 years you'll be able to place bets.
Would you do that? I mean, would you? You're going down to a Leaf game.
Absolutely, I would.
Say tomorrow night you had life was normal. And you got tickets. You guys are going to go down and watch it, sit in the alumni box, and eat as much penne pasta as possible. Before the game, are you walking across to Real Sports and putting down, you know, some prop.
I'd put down
$20.
Like, yeah, I don't bet a fortune. You know, we joke about gambling and stuff. I'm not betting thousands of dollars.
No, I'm not saying that you're doing that. But I saw an interesting stat today, which we could almost have our own little prop bets. Like, Auston Matthews has scored four straight openers, correct? Is that the stat? I believe it's first game of the season. He has scored every and I believe it's like, I don't think it's a record or anything, but I believe it's like that's a prop bet or a stat that he has underneath his belt. It could be five in a row tomorrow.
Well, I've got some props that I was maybe going to get to a little bit later in the afternoon, but if we're talking about it, I mean, we could sprinkle them in as we go. We could focus it during a segment.
Well, listen, we can have a straight prop segment. All I'm saying is that I think you're right. This is where the future of the NHL, the future of sports, like everything's online. Like, we've seen things transition. When life does get back to somewhat normal, there is going to be some different looks. Even, you know, logos on the helmet. I don't know how long they're going to stay. They said,
oh, I don't think,
you know,
they're ever coming off. I don't believe for a second they're ever coming off.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know why. It's such a small detail, but I don't like it. I don't like the, for some reason, I've always kind of liked the look of whatever it is, hockey
team logo,
or, yeah, golf clubs. I just have a certain thing that I like the way it looks. I just don't like the helmet with that logo on it, and I don't know why. You shouldn't even think twice about it. I bet you 60% of hockey fans would not even notice that that's on their helmet. But
yeah,
I just don't, for some reason, I just don't, I don't know. But it's got to happen. Obviously, I understand what's behind it. I just think it looks goofy. I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't think it'll bother you, though, in 2 months. You know, eventually it's just going to be there, and you're probably not
obviously,
even going to notice
it. In 2 months, I won't even know. It'll just be like that's their logo for their team. You don't even notice it.
I always laugh, and I got caught down a rabbit hole last night of, like, I played with Craig McTavish. No bucket. Like, flat out, no bucket. Like, just salad.
What would happen if a guy didn't wear a bucket right
now? Stick a sticker to the side of his head.
He has to shave his head in the Scotiabank logo. Scotiabank.
Like, so, all I was thinking about
what
is,
what would,
like,
they do with Ally Afraidy's piece from back in the day?
Well, there's plenty of room to put a full, like, decal on the skullet.
A tattoo in between the top patch and the skullet.
But all I was thinking about, like, in the history of the game, especially in recency, like maybe the last 20, 30 years, who had the worst bucket? Like, Mike Foligno's bucket was pretty rough.
Awful bucket.
Like, and that's a former Leaf, right?
Oh, yeah. He was here for a couple of years. He was there in 93. Scored a big goal against Detroit in overtime, I believe.
That was a tough bucket. Calgary Flames had this goal scorer named Håkan Lube.
Yep,
and
terrible.
It looked like a shoegox that he was wearing on his – our buddy Butch Goring.
There wasn't a quality helmet until – probably 1990 something. Like, Messier's was the first, like, quality helmet.
Yeah, the,
like,
Winwell
that was a good
or whatever
looking bucket.
Yeah.
But you watch old school games in, like, 1978 where there's, like, five guys with helmets.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah, like, it's a leather strap.
Didn't like the customary CCM NHL standard helmet? You didn't? I thought that was the best bucket ever.
The one that you wore, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Those were great. But those were into the 90s and beyond. I'm saying, like, the 80s. Like, Gretzky's helmet was awful.
No, dude. The CCM standard NHL bucket, that thing was around for a long time.
Was it?
Time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I remember, like, Dougie Gilmore wearing one in the 80s.
I just think of like, guys who were unique. For the most part, you're right. Everyone's wearing the same type of helmet, and then there's just one guy who's got just a garbage can on his head.
Well, where you don't see it ever anymore is goaltenders. Like,
right.
There always was, like, Hasek used the old school player helmet his whole career.
Yeah, the birdcage. Yeah, he wore the birdcage.
Right?
And you know, Chris Osgood went to a mask and then went back. He had the spider cage. In midget hockey, and before I got, when I got, first got to junior, I wore the same thing as Hasek. It was kind of like just the wire, like the birdcage. But then I got my face pounded in a few times. So you get a slap shot on that where the wires are an inch away from your nose. Like, you're going to do some
terrifying
damage. John Van Beesbrook wore it in the NHL, but there was some unique masks. But for the most part, nowadays, guys are, you know, there's three or four companies that crank them out, and they're safe for the most part. And now it's all about paint jobs. But back then, there were some unique things happening.
Oh, yeah. You were just surviving. You're like, give me something I can wear on my head.
If you get an opportunity, Google Tommy Soderstrom. Yeah, I played with that. Tommy, yep. And it was like, you know, Tommy was 5'6", and he had this, like, he looked like an alien. It was like a weird,
dude,
weird
I played cage. With Archie Irbe.
Yes.
Worst equipment in the history of the game. It's like he just ripped off part of his fence and glued it onto his bucket and said, I'm ready to play.
It is. It's amazing how awful it looked back in the day. Like a bad helmet. And you just don't see it anymore.
Dude,
like now,
me and Archie, for obvious reasons, we just were not similar people. But I would go up to him and say, dude, look at your glove. Like, your glove is a piece of you-know-what. Look at all these, like, you know the cheater thing with the web? I'd say, look at that guy's glove. Why don't you get a glove? Like, it's like he had the glove on the wrong hand all the time. I'm like, just get a glove. He'd be sewing it on the bench, sewing it on the plane. I'm like, no way. That's for you. I'm asking this for you. Get a glove.
Yeah, aesthetically, he was very...
the worst.
It was an ugly setup to look at. And goalies, they get so particular about their gear. And I see it online. I follow some of these accounts, goalie nerds and all of that. And, like, they're so focused on their setup and their colors and everything, which I mean, it's part of feeling comfortable in the net. Archie Irbe just went out and stopped pucks, but his gear was... not attractive.
Terrible.
Dude,
terrible.
I just got a text from one of the friends of the show who is a legend and one of our favorite guys. He said when he played in Calgary, he tried the Gretzky Jofa 2 games. I'll send you a picture of one of the games he played. You won't recognize him with the Gretzky Jofa. He played 2 games and he said that's it, went back to the CCA.
How many guys wore it other than 99?
Oh, a lot of Edmonton guys.
Yeah,
did,
there
man.
Was Edmonton guys.
Gary Curry,
Curry Callaghan, did. You're right.
Yeah, there were guys that were kicking around with it. I think because
Marty McSorley wore it. Everybody
right.
in Edmonton wore
that's
that
right.
thing.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Except
think
for
about it.
Like you go back to even almost a generation just before, like Dave Semenko. He had a head. I don't think a head that could fit a helmet. Like he was such a large man, and. You know, some of these old tough guys, like they didn't wear helmets, and they're just so identifiable because you're like that's, you know, that's Chris Nyland, that's you know, and Chris Nyland wore a helmet, but
he
like their faces,
helmet, yeah.
their faces were just there, and it was a giant hairdo, Nick Futillo, and like monsters back in the day.
No helmet, like how? Imagine there was just one guy holding on for dear life to the like to no helmet. And how, like, I just love to see how the NHL would handle that with.
Well, what if Chara, like, what if Chara was grandfathered in and he's 40, whatever, some years old, or Joe Thornton? Like, when they started, I think helmets were still, like,
I think
optional,
they were,
right?
I think they had to back then. I think by 97, you had to. And, like, it was, there was certainly a line where it was like, okay, anyone that comes into the league after this, just
right.
like now, anyone that comes in now, you have to wear a visor.
Right.
So, that's going to be in 20 years. You're going to say, remember this guy who didn't wear a visor?
Yeah.
Is there one player in the league that doesn't wear a visor?
Well, Thornton doesn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who don't wear visors.
There are a bunch of Bogosian doesn't. The Leafs have two.
Matt Martin. Like, yeah. Maybe they're
Ryan
more
O'Reilly
like,
doesn't
tough
wear
guys.
One?
Yeah, like there's some guys who don't. But I think for the most part, everyone
Chara
should.
Doesn't. Like Chara, no. Chara's never worn one.
But it is. Those are throwback guys, and it is crazy. It's up to them. But I remember where, and oh, you can speak to this a lot more than I can, but where a visor was a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
Is it not? Like that kind of was like, that
off.
Was the old school, well, you're a visor, you're soft, you're this and that. Nowadays, I actually kind of cringe when I see a guy with no visor on out there and pucks flying around and sticks, you know, just... give yourself another layer of protection.
That whole idea, and it was just stupidity when you look back on it. But I thought that was part of the dream. You get to the NHL, you are not wearing a bucket in warm-up. You're wearing the CCM standard NHL bucket. Practices, no chin strap done up like Dougie Gilmore, and no mouth guard. And we'll see what happens. And if I showed you my face... you would say maybe you shouldn't have done that. I've got 5 stitches on both of my eyes, like my eyeballs, right around my eyeballs. I'm like, who the hell needs that?
Yeah, well, Dougie's a perfect example. Like Gilmore, remember how long his chin strap was? Like even he'd do it up during the game.
His chin strap was down to his midsection.
Yeah, it was
ridiculous. And I'm like, why would I want to follow that lead? I'm like, that's Peter Laviolette wanted to stuff me into a garbage can, because as soon as he started coaching me, he took over from Paul Maurice. He came up to me and goes, do up your chin strap for practice. This is the NHL. It's dangerous out here. And I would never do it up. I'd be like, this guy's a loser.
This guy's a loser.
10 minutes, he blew the whistle. He goes, I told you to do up your chin strap. He goes, if I got to tell you again, we're going to have a serious problem. He goes, we're not starting off on the right foot about your chin strap. We haven't even played a game yet. And that's when I said, we're going to have significant issues here, sir.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem, because
so every practice I said I'm not doing out my chin strap just to piss this guy off.
Well, some guys would do it around the back of their head as if.
Oh, that was my other signature move. You do it up. That's what I did. I did it up and put it on the back of my neck. I'm like, suck on that one, Levy.
Right, it's technically clipped on. What do you want? What do you want out of me, Peter? It's the most useless safety measure of all time. It's around the back of your helmet. But anyway, John Tavares is coming up. They are on the verge of a new season. The Habs are in town tomorrow night, so we'll tee it up with him, get his take on a shortened preseason. Well, no preseason, really, no exhibition games, and how the team's feeling going into a new year. So we're going to catch up with John Tavares, Matthew Tkachuk later this afternoon. We'll get into the Raptors' loss again last night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Jamie, I don't know about any of the guys you played with, but I always found it bizarre. I was never out the night before the game type of guy, but I played with some guys that would work so hard in training camp and just work their tail off, and in the gym and the bag skates, and it would be like, okay, on the bird into a different city, first night of the regular season, and it's just, we got to make a night of it. It's like we are officially, and I was like, why, how does this need to be, of the all the nights in the season need to be a big night? I could never figure it out. And you would never suspect it the next day. There was never an effort issue. But some guys just had to get out there and kind of have a time. I think it was like their time to shine. It was like season's go time.
Yeah, I think that was their routine too. Go for a nice dinner, you know, some wines consumed. Kind of if that turns into a nightcap or whatever. Like everyone, that's the one thing. And I never judged anybody else for their preparation. Like, I just never could. Like, I was not like that. Certainly, if I was not starting, my routine was a lot different than when I was starting. But I just wasn't one. I'll fully admit there were times where I was out the night before a game on the road and maybe midseason, all that. That gets back to it. But opening.
I think you got to embrace the
city. No way.
Yeah, opening
no
night.
No way.
Seems like, before you can hold off.
I learned later in my career, you got to embrace a city. Like if you're in Boston or New York City or L.A., I don't care if there's a game the next day. You deserve a nice dinner, maybe like a piano bar after or something. Like, I don't know. You're in L.A. You're in New York. You got to do it.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's bring in the captain of the Maple Leafs. They're on the verge of a new season tomorrow night. The Habs are in town. Here is John Tavares. How you doing, John?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. Do you abide by the same logic as O and Noodles when you're on the road?
I think my approach is a little different than O's.
Well, I wasn't at the piano bar too long, John. It was just, you just kind of take a peek and you sniff around a little bit.
Whatever's got to get you ready, as long as you're out, you show up or fuck drop, that's what matters. So.
Exactly.
That's the message. And these guys were always talking about when he got to the NHL, like his I made it moment was no bucket in warm-up. And I don't know if that happens anymore in the NHL. You've been around now for a while. Have you ever gone no helmet in warm-up? And how would everyone respond if that happened tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm sure guys would be shocked because I haven't done it my time here in Toronto. But I did it for a couple of years there in New York. And, yeah, it was like a rite of passage kind of thing. Felt like a veteran. You've been in the league maybe a couple of years.
How much did you love it?
I liked it until it was. I kind of got annoyed until I had to kind of get the hair dolled up, and then the whole routine just got to be too much for me. So I didn't mind it though. It was nice to do it. I got some. I think there's some good shots of me strolling around out there. So I'll hang my hat on that one day.
So where is your mindset as far as, you know, how a shortened training camp, no exhibition games? I know you had an inter-squad game that you guys treated like one the other night, but ultimately, you know, how tough is that to prepare for, you know, tomorrow night. It's for basically all the marbles, and you go at it where you really haven't had an opportunity with some new teammates to develop some chemistry and all of that type of stuff in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's not ideal, obviously, but at the same time, I think everybody's in the same boat. So you just kind of got to roll with it and deal with the circumstances as they come and do everything you can to make some of those transitions hopefully as seamless as you can, and whatever challenges come of it, you're able to find the solutions quicker than your opponents and find the level of play that we all need to as a team and individually. So, yeah, it's definitely a challenge. There's no doubt it's been short and quick, and not playing any games and being off for a while. There obviously is going to be some variables, and then there's the whole, you know, protocols that we have to follow now with the pandemic and empty buildings and everything. So there's a lot that's going into it. It's going to be very different. So just trying to be as prepared for the unexpected and dealing with many challenges this year could face.
With John Tavares, you mentioned a moment ago that, you know, as long as you're prepared for puck drop, that's all you can ask out of your teammates. And that comes down to preparation, when you get to the rink, when you go to the gym, how you prepare, how you warm up. But with COVID and the protocols, we're dealing with a very different existence right now. As the captain of the team, what kind of messaging are you sending to your teammates about being diligent, being careful, and how different, you know, the world is right now and trying to get through 56 games during a pandemic? All right, I think we lost him there. We'll get him back. It's all good.
Yeah. No, that
we'll get him back. I don't think the COVID question was necessarily going to throw him off, but I think his phone was dropping there. So we'll get John Tavares back on the line here. But
I liked his comment about, you know, like the no bucket early on, and then it was like, I agree. I would see guys like in the mirror combing their hair. Like, it's actually a distraction, probably a pain in the ass to do. So you're saying, you know, what the hell with it? I'll just wear the helmet and warm up. Like, I think he's a no-nonsense guy, so I could see
I had to wet
right
my
away.
Hair because I didn't want to come in from warm-up and it not be wet, and I'd be like, I'm not even sweating right now. I'm not even ready for this game. So no matter what, if you wet the bucket, you're already sweating. You're already dialed in.
Kills two birds with one stone.
That's
basically
true.
What you're saying. All right, I think we have John Tavares back. I don't know if you heard that question, John. But
I only heard maybe the first part about that, about your teammates getting prepared. So
yeah, well, and what I was getting to was with COVID and how different the protocols are this year. Like, what kind of messaging you have for your teammates as the captain of the team about being diligent, being careful, and how different this season is going to be?
Yeah, I think the organization itself has done a tremendous job in discussing those variables and how important it is to be mindful of that and, you know, looking at how some of the other sports have dealt playing a season outside of a bubble in a pandemic. So the messaging there has been great. And obviously we've all heard the news throughout today in Ontario and already the measures that have been continuing to be instituting since, you know, the lockdown and the restrictions that have been in place really since kind of developing over since Thanksgiving. So I think everyone's very aware and cognizant of that, and no one wants to impact our season in a negative way, and that's obviously a big part of it this year. So we're obviously going to do everything we can. We know how fortunate we are to be playing in Canada and everything that a lot of people are going through and how difficult many situations are for many people. So understanding that, helping our communities and our cities and knowing what we're all dealing with away from the rink.
John, Tampa got bounced by Columbus 4 straight, and they all claimed that they were embarrassed by it and they wanted to help it fuel them going forward. From everything I hear, you guys were pissed off last year, and it was a pissed-off theme in the locker room. How do you kind of use that for you guys as fuel this year to have success? Is there something said? Is it just a video? Just how do you use it to kind of fuel you guys?
Well, I think since I've been here, you know, our goal is to win the Stanley Cup, and we know we have a very talented group of players, and how committed the organization is to giving us every opportunity, every resource to do that. And, you know, once you accomplish that goal, there's obviously a sense of disappointment, but I think the way things played out and you know, how much we put in coming back to playing in the summer and the thought of our opportunity. It just, I think, left a real sour taste in a lot of our mouths. And I think you can just still sense that amongst the group and our core group of just not coming out on the right side of that series and obviously giving ourselves the next opportunity, the next challenge. No doubt is a way just to, as a source of fuel to continue to have that that push to get to where we want to get to. So every experience, every year you go through the ups and downs, you know, they only I think build that that desire more and more, especially when they don't go your way or it's not the result that you're looking for. So we know we got a very talented group. We've added some tremendous players and people to our team. So we're really excited about our group, and we know that it's going to be a real tough year. We got a very tough division, so it starts tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it.
We're chatting with John Tavares, the Leafs at home tomorrow night, starting their season, taking on Montreal. And we had Sheldon on last week, and I think it was news anyway, but he told us, like, he put you guys through a 20-minute bag skate right when you stepped on the ice for the first time last week, and he had a different message for the team, and he said he was very blunt with the players and specifically the core players throughout the offseason about what has to happen for you guys to achieve that goal. What has been the general response from the team when it comes to the way Sheldon Keefe is approaching this new season?
I think guys are definitely embracing it. I think guys are just hungry and excited about a new season, a new opportunity, and learning from last year's experience, growing from that, and having this challenge. And you know, when we add veterans like we've had this offseason, obviously in particular Jumbo, someone who is so inundated in an organization in the city, to leave and to come join us because he really believes in our group and our team and the type of talent that we have in the middle of a pandemic, I think speaks volumes to the potential that we have, and it's really up to us to find ways and the solutions needed to get to where we want to get to. So, you know, that's just one example of just what our potential could be. And Sheldon and the coaching staff and management have really been great in communicating the standards and the level of play we needed, the daily habits, the consistency that we need, not just at certain times of the year, but really through our off season into training camp and each and every single day of the season. And obviously working to earn a playoff spot and a good spot to then have those habits and that consistent play be just our foundation of who we are and what we're about, and have that help us have success in the postseason.
John, a lot of focus and narrative around being tougher to play against. You know, do you define that? Have you guys talked about it? Is it just one thing, or is it a combination of several things just based on roster and the guys executing what you are trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think you hit it all on the head there, Noodles. I think us having the consistency, obviously we've added some people that really bring that. That's really a part of who they are and their game and what they're about. Which will, I think, set a great example for many of us, and a lot of us just growing and maturing and being more physical, understanding the importance of winning puck battles and the emphasis in certain situations, and just fighting for every inch of the ice and never leaving any play to doubt and giving it everything we have every single day, and just stretching our comfort level, getting outside our comfort zone and really challenging ourselves. And I think you talked about the bag skate we had and some of those things that we're doing just to really challenge ourselves to get outside our comfort zone and to grow and mature in those areas. And that's obviously an area that's been emphasized, you know, publicly, and things that we've talked internally, how we can be better and be a harder team to play against and, be harder on our opponent.
Well, it starts tomorrow night. We're looking forward to having you guys in town. Obviously, we won't be able to be in the building, and you're used to that playing in Toronto during the bubble back in August. But it's going to be a fun year, all-Canadian division. We look forward to seeing how it all plays out. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Good luck starting tomorrow night, and thank you as always, John.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. There's John Tavares, captain of the Maple Leafs. And I think we may have heard his.
Or something.
What's that?
I think he was snowmobiling or something.
I think he's might have been. Yeah, it sounded like his boy was in the background. He's doing something
with
kid.
His. That's tough. And as we all know, when you're doing something and you've got a kid right there, it's a battle.
Yeah, and it can be a bit of a grind. And his kid's even younger, too.
Yeah,
I think.
Young
I don't know
I'll
how
tell
old
you what,
be,
Hayes, but... I know you're a Toronto guy and you're a big downtown guy. I had to do some prep. I'm having surgery soon. I had to go downtown. It's so weird to drive through that downtown. It's just such a busy place that's not busy right now. It's such a weird look.
Yeah, it is. I haven't
like
been downtown in a long time. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I've been downtown. Like it's certainly the longest time in my life that I have not been down there. But it's been a long, long time because I just have no reason to go down there right now. It's not that I wouldn't want to, you know. It's not that I wouldn't want to support local or whatever, but if I'm going down there, I'm going to a game, I'm going to a restaurant, I'm going to a bar. Those aren't accessible at this point. You know, it's not available to you. So, yeah, it's weird. I like you'll see it sometimes on the news. They'll show old kind of stock video of, you know, Yonge Street or University or Bay or Front or whatever it is, and it's just rocking. You know what I mean? And there's cars everywhere. There's people everywhere. There's a buzz. And now it's just not there. And it hasn't been there for 10 months. It's been gone.
It's
in the summer,
so
it was moving
me.
A little bit. In the summer, there was some buzz. But
yeah, people were outdoors. But what's weird for me is to watch, like, the top 10 on SportsCenter, you know, in the morning where it shows, you know, top 10 plays of this last year. And it's, you know, a quarterback making a great play, and the place is just packed. Like, you see all these fans in the background or, you know, like – I all I think about is, like, where's their mask? Like, when is the last? Like, it's so weird because that is an outlier for me when really the life we're living should be the outlier. Like, I want to get back to that. It's so weird to see a guy score a goal in hockey and you know, fans are going nuts in the background. That seems
same
like
thing,
a lifetime
Jamie.
Ago.
I see fans in the stands going crazy, and I say, man, that seems so far away. Yeah. And by the way, how far away am I away from seeing that again? That's the questions I always ask. Like, when are you going to see a building full of screaming fans for any type of event, let alone hockey or baseball?
I don't think it's going to be long in the States. I think by the summer, I think ballparks are going to be full. I kind of expect that to be the case because, you know, they're moving in that direction anyway. Like, look at the Bills. The Bills had 7,000 people or whatever in the stands.
You think that was 7? I thought that was 24.
It looked like a lot. Tennessee looked like even more. Tennessee, I think, had 17,000 listed or 14,000. It looked like half full almost. It looked like there were 30,000 or 40,000 people in that stadium. And it depends on where you go. It depends on, I guess, the vaccine rollout, all that kind of stuff. I don't know where we're going in the future. Eugene Melnyk issued a statement today saying, you know, he's proposed some sort of plan that would see rapid testing and get 6,000 fans in the stands at their building in Ottawa. And obviously it's not happening anytime soon, but he wants
it. So they barely are allowed to play games, and then this genius is coming up with a plan to put people in the building now? Like, come on. It's just not
It doesn't seem like he's reading the room. Like, I think he had to circle back and issue another statement and be like, oh, just for the record, it's not right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like announcing that on the same day that Ford comes out 10 months into this saying, you know, we're basically shutting down here. Don't leave your house unless you have to, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Not exactly. You know,
said it
the
best, Brian. Reading the room, which is his worst event.
Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't mean in 2 months, you know, the room is not going to be different. Or listen, I think you get caught up in an echo chamber, you know, with where that's the way we exist now with social media and everything. You just assume everyone thinks the same way you think. There's probably a lot of people in the Ottawa area that would go to a game tonight, happily go. Now, it's not their call. You know, it's up to the, you know, Ottawa Health and Toronto Public Health or whatever. But you just assume because you wouldn't go, or, hey, I talked to a few people that said they wouldn't go. That doesn't mean everyone isn't going to go.
No.
You know, they could get 6,000 people in the stands. It's just a matter of when it's actually going to be accepted.
Yeah.
But, we'll catch up with Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Matthew Tkachuk in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll touch on the Raptors game last night And the GM of the Brooklyn Nets has issued a statement on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, this guy.
We'll tell you a little bit about that and see where this is going as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. Matthew Tkachuk into the 6 p.m. hour. Raptors with another heartbreaking loss last night. They go 1-3 on the road. They're 2-8 on the season, tied for dead last in the NBA through 10 games. I mean, that's a fair amount of sample size. And there's a lot of issues with this team right now. They have no faith in their size. Aaron Baines didn't even play last night. Alex Len played but brought nothing to the table. So they have no size. As a result, you know, a lot of these players, especially perimeter defenders, feel like they have no support. So their fouling is out of control. They have no depth. My concern is Kyle Lowry is making a lot of rookie mistakes late in games. You know, like bad turnovers at bad times and bad fouls at bad times.
Yeah.
And it just can't happen. Like, it's Lowry has got to be the guy to just hammer home, this is how we operate, follow my lead. And there were some positives in terms of an individual standpoint on the trip. Pascal Siakam had a great night last night. Had a quality night a couple of nights ago as well. Fred VanVleet continues to roll for the most part, but 2-8 is is 2-8.
Do you not agree with what I said with yesterday, Brian? They're just good enough to get you close to the last play of the game, and they'll fall short almost all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't see this team, the talent that they have, just go on a run and start tearing it up. Everybody knows the stats. They're basically not making the playoffs. But what can you do? And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. I think they deserve a trade. Like, I think the players that lace them up every day, they deserve a trade. So upgrade the talent. Give them a better chance to win.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt. It comes with a price, though. Like, and who are you trading for? If you're getting James Harden, who's out the door? Like, I don't even know what Houston be looking at. Like, who would be on their wish list from the Raptors right now?
If they don't do it, well, Jamie, the other option is to ride it out, and they're going to stink all year, and they're a lottery team. So go ahead and do that then.
I don't know if James Harden does anything right now. Anyway, it improves their talent. It probably gets them a few more wins. You put James Harden, for starters, Siakam would be a piece that Houston would be very interested in, I think. And, you know, based on the money and all that kind of – like, Siakam, he's had a bad start. It doesn't mean he's an awful player. So it's not like his value has completely dropped through the floor.
No.
But he, you know, it would probably be Siakam, Powell plus. Like, I don't know what that would look like. And whatever is left, it's basically James Harden with a bunch of guys. And, you know, maybe Fred's still here. Maybe Lowry's still here. But it's clearly not enough. I think the James Harden trade scenario is probably out the window until the offseason, where maybe you can regroup, readdress different areas of your team, and then maybe you take a run at that. It might just be too late. You know, at 2-8, it just might be too late for that. And it'll be interesting to see how the market – it's such a weird time because the market's not alive. Like we just talked about in the last segment. You were downtown. There's no one out there. You can't go to the games. The team's playing in Tampa. You know, this isn't a true, accurate assessment of the team and the viewpoint of the team. But
so
when they were riding high –
Masai's going to look at it and say, you know what, nothing to see here. Maybe we'll address this next year.
Potentially. You know, if there was going to be a year where you think, yeah, we're writing this one off, this is probably it when you're playing in Tampa and it's a shortened season anyway. This probably wouldn't be the worst year to take a big step back, maybe get a top five pick, regroup, and see where you go.
Right.
But I'm talking more about the fan reaction to it all because the Raptors and their fan base and their popularity was growing year over year over year, and it was easy to do so because they were winning year after year after year. Right, like Tim Leiwicki made that statement, in 10 years, basketball will be the primary sport in this town. That'll be challenged here, right? You run off like a 300 record, you win 12 games all year, it'll be challenged, you know, to see exactly what they've built up and who was just jumping on the bandwagon for a couple of years and who truly said, I'm a Raptor fan for life and let's see where this goes. And we'll find out. You know, it's going to be difficult to quantify, but we'll find out.
You're not going to see it. There's no Raptors Square. There's no Jurassic Park.
No, but I mean, like, if it's a lean year this year and it takes them a bit to kind of get back on track, then you're going to see. You're right. There will be some people that disappear on the team until the team's good again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
fair
that's
weather.
That is the definition of fair weather fans. And it's not just reserved for this situation. It's everywhere. In
the
all
Jays
pro
get
sports.
It all the time, too. When the
yes.
Jays sink,
yeah,
they fall off the marquee. You know, and they're starting to build back up, but they got to snap out of it at some point. You know,
yeah.
like they haven't done anything this offseason. And Rob Manfred said, I believe today or yesterday, gear up. Like full spring training, 162 games, pitchers and catchers in like a month and a half. So you still have time. Still got big
right.
arms out there. You got some big position players. You got money to spend. But the levee's going to have to break for the Blue Jays at some point because other teams around them, specifically in the American League, are starting to make some noise.
Yeah.
Starting to make some moves here with the White Sox signing Liam Hendricks. And we'll see what else happens, you know, along the road. Hour two up next, Ray Ferraro will join us. We will get into this Kyrie Irving story. The GM, Sean Marks of the Nets, has issued a statement on a video that's out there of Kyrie Irving and family members partying somewhere in Jersey, and also the fact that he's just been away from the team for personal reasons. So we'll get to that more coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.